to see the dawn of the darkest day. Christ on the road to Calvary, tried by sinful men, torn and beaten, then nailed to a cross of wood. This the power.
This apart. Thank you, ladies. Appreciate the good song this morning. Appreciate everything that's been done thus far. Want to continue to encourage the church, those that know the Lord, to follow the Spirit of God this morning. Well, I might ask you if there's anything else on your heart that needs to be done before we change the order of the service. Anything? I'm thankful today for those that have been saved or to be saved. Must look to the cross where Jesus hung. I'm thankful. I'm thankful this morning to be a child of God. I believe these services are meant to be special. I truly wish every Sunday was special. Certainly, I don't want us to get relaxed in just observing a resurrected Savior just once a year. But I'm thankful that He is resurrected all the time. But I said here a few weeks ago, and I want to continue on in my thought, and it seems like maybe my thought might shift just a little bit, but I want to try to finish up. Here a couple, 2 or 3 weeks ago, we tried to preach on, and I believe in all of my heart that, and it's not a sense of argument this morning, not to be argumentative, but I believe the Scriptures will bear it out that Jesus was crucified and placed in a tomb by 6 p.m. on Wednesday afternoon. I believe that. And I may have not have done the best job bringing those things out. But we can find in the Scripture where it talks about over in the 23rd chapter of Leviticus, where we talk about the Passover. We tried to preach on that a few weeks ago when he talked about the Feast of Unleavened Bread. We talked about that last week. And this week we want to talk about the Feast of First Fruits. And so I want to take for some text this morning. We're going to be reading out of 1 Corinthians in the 15th chapter. And we're going to be over in this area quite a bit this morning. And also I want to go into the 14th chapter of Job, with the Lord being our help. And I don't know if I'll make it to Job, but we're going to try. I want to say just a few words this morning before we get into this. Hold your place, if you will. I want you to know this morning that Jesus Christ, as we've always tried to tell you, and maybe this is the first time you've sat under the preaching of the gospel, or maybe you've sat under it your whole life. But I want you to know today that if you're ever going to be saved, that it has to be through and by Jesus. That this morning, that salvation is the greatest thing that'll ever happen to you. And that salvation is not merely something that you can manifest upon your own. You cannot make a decision for Christ. You cannot merely up and decide that you're going to accept Christ. But as Jesus told Nicodemus, and I know y'all say, Brother Casey, you say this all the time, listen, the Scriptures never change. But Jesus told Nicodemus, He said, you must be born again. You must experience a new birth. And as He described unto him, that being born again means being born from above. And that's what Jesus was telling Nicodemus. Now, He didn't tell Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee, who was an educated man, He didn't tell him to merely go and accept somebody's prayer that they had told them to pray. But He told him, He declared to him that he must be born again. And Nicodemus questioned these things within himself. He said, well, how can a man be born when he is old? How can he enter in a second time into his mother's womb? He was thinking about something that was physical. He couldn't comprehend what Jesus was telling him. But Jesus was talking about a spiritual birth. And this morning, I want you to know that that's what's going to have to happen to you if you're ever going to be saved. It's not about baptism. He didn't tell him to go and be baptized, but he told him that he must be born again. He didn't tell him to go and repeat some prayer, but he told him he must be born again. So this morning, I'm not trying to run anybody down, but I want you to know this morning that if you're ever going to be saved, and if, my friend, if you're ever going to be secured, if you're ever going to be safe, it has to be through and by Jesus Christ and Him alone. For there's none other name given under heaven whereby a man must be saved. It's Jesus Christ. It's always been Jesus Christ, and it's always going to be Jesus Christ. I want to make that point very clear this morning. Jesus had told His disciples, He had even told those, and I told them this morning, I might repeat some of what we said this morning in sunrise service, but He had told His disciples numerous times, and we've tried to bring this out, is what He said there in the 12th chapter of Matthew, that Jesus told them, He said, the only sign that I'll give you is as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. He said, that's the only sign that I'll declare unto you. And He told them that an adulterous generation, I believe He said, is one that might seek signs. But He told them that's the only sign that I'll give you. Jesus numerous times told His disciples that He was going to go away. They couldn't understand it. They couldn't comprehend what He was saying. And my friend, they seen the things that Jesus done. They seen that He had healed the blind. He seen that they had raised the dead. He had seen all of these things that Jesus had done. And my friend, today I want you to know that this word still stands. Those things that Jesus done, they happened. They're real. My friend, I believe it in all of my heart when He went to Lazarus that had been dead 4 days. And Mary and Martha began to say, Lord, he's beginning to stink. He's been dead 4 days. You've tarried too long. And I believe Jesus tarried on purpose. He come right on time. I'll get to my point just in a minute. Y'all bear with me. I'm going to follow God today. But He tarried. And He told them. He said, I am the resurrection. He declared to them what He was. He said, I am the resurrection. And you'll remember what He said there to Lazarus as he was bound in those grave clothes. What did He say? He said, come forth, Lazarus. And he was bound in his grave clothes, and he come forth when he called his name. Now, I believe that happened. I believe he raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. I believe those things. I believe this book to be real, not because somebody told it to me, but because the Spirit of God makes it alive to me. It's alive. It's a living word. It's alive, and it's meant to prick us in the heart. It's meant to get our attention. It's meant to get our focus focused upon God and upon His written word that it might help us. I know most of us are familiar this morning with the story of how Jesus died, but let me remind you this morning that nobody took His life from Him. That Jesus Christ was without sin. He was different than me and you. I know a lot of times people look at the preacher and they'll say, for some reason people want to put preachers on a pedestal. Listen, I'm just a sinner like you are. I'm no different than you are. I needed to be saved just like you do. And thanks be unto God, the Lord saved me. But there's only ever been one that was without sin. And His name is Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, who came and gave His life as a ransom that many through Him might be saved. He's not, listen, it's not something, I know a lot of times people in the world today say, well, that story's just made up. Listen to me, this book is full of evidence. Full of evidence of people that seen Him alive. They seen Him. Listen, you can't make this story up. It's real. So Jesus Christ gave His life upon a cross. They beat him. They tortured him. They spit on him. And let me remind you this morning that he was born of a virgin. I believe that this morning. I believe he was born of a virgin as the Holy Ghost overshadowed her. He was born without sin. He was different than me and you. But yet he was still a man. Let me put it to you this way. He was all God and he was all man. He was tempted in every point just as we are. And he gave his life upon a cross at Calvary. They didn't take it from him. Now that brings us to this point this morning. I told you I was going to follow the Lord. Go over to John real quick. We'll get back over here to Corinthians in just a moment. Y'all say he's everywhere this morning. That's all right. 20th chapter, John. Says the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. And she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and the other disciples whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulcher, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth at the other disciples and came to the sepulcher, so they ran both together. And the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulcher. And him stooping down and looking in saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then Simon Peter following him went into the sepulcher and seeing the linen clothes lie and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also the other disciple, which came first to the sepulcher, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. And I read part of this morning, but I want to point out here that after Jesus Christ had cried out that it's finished, and my friend, he cried out that it was finished, that he had completed, he had been obedient to the Father and what the Father had asked him to do, I believe in all of my heart that he went through everything as he was hanging there on that cross, and he began to examine and think about everything. And I believe, and this is my thought, but he began to examine the Scripture and the Word of God, and he said, I've completed that, and I've finished that, and I've done this, and almost like a checklist, if you will. And I've done this, and I've completed that. And my friend, when he said, it is finished, he realized that he had completed all things that God had required him to complete while he was here. And my friend, then he yielded up the ghost. He gave the ghost up. And if you'll remember in Luke's account, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend thy spirit. And my friend, then the Lord Jesus, his body was there. And Joseph and Nicodemus came that they might get his body. They had went to Pilate and asked for his body that they might prepare it. Because the Lord Jesus, because of the Sabbath that it was approaching, he had to be placed in the tomb by no later than 6 p.m. that afternoon. And so they prepared his body. They got him ready, and they took him and laid him in a tomb. The Bible says that no man had ever been in. It was a new tomb. And they placed him in that tomb, and the Bible says there that they sealed it up. They made sure. They set a watch over it, and they sealed this tomb up. And my friend, here comes Mary, and you'll read in other accounts of the Gospels that as Mary come into the tomb there, that it says that she seen an angel, two angels, if you will, one at the foot and one at the head. And she seen there these two angels that was dressed in white linen. And she said, these angels, as Mary seen them, he said, why seek ye the living amongst the dead? He said, he is risen. And so here it is. She had come that she might go and see a Savior. Her Lord, she called him Master. And my friend, they had a relationship with one another. And that's what God desires that you might have. The Lord had cured her, if you'll remember. I believe she had seven demons that had come out of her. So here it is, She called him Master. And my friend, this morning, the Lord Jesus needs to be Lord and Master of your life. Lord and Master of your life. So here it is. She come here to this sepulcher expecting to see him, but he was not there. And here it is. The angels declared, "Why seek ye the living amongst the dead? Because he is risen. He's not here." As Brother Don said, he went over there to Israel and he looked in that tomb. And the greatest thing he seen about that tomb was that he's not there. He's risen. And my friend, this morning, I want you to know that there's a whole lot of, and I'm not here to knock nobody. I'm not here to run nobody down. But I want to tell you, there's a whole lot of religions in this world today that'll tell you they believe in this one, they believe in that one. And my friend, every one of them's buried somewhere. But the one I serve this morning, he's risen. And he's there in heaven. And he's seated at the right hand of God. Why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here. He told you he was going to rise. Why did you come here? He's not here. And then Mary sees him, doesn't she? If you'll remember, you read on a little bit further in this chapter, she began to weep. She seen the gardener. She thought that it was him. Supposing the gardener had took him. What did he say? He said, "Mary." He called her name. She knew the voice of God. And my friend, this morning, for those that have truly been born again, I'm no better than you are. There's nothing special about me. As Brother Buddy said, there's nothing good about me except what Jesus has done for me this morning. But I'm thankful that he knows my voice. I'm thankful this morning that I know his voice. And I'm thankful that I know him. That this morning that you can know him. And that's what Jesus said eternal life is. He said, "For this is eternal life, that you might know me." That's what he said eternal life is. He didn't say that it was merely doing this or doing that, but he said, "You might know me in the depths of your heart." You ask me, how do I get there? Well, you got to pray and seek God. Brother Buddy talked about this morning about fear. You know, the beginning of knowledge is the fear of the Lord. There's got to be fear there. Fear about what? I told you this morning I was going to try to preach about the first fruits, but I needed to build up to this point to get there. Jesus is risen. What was the first fruits? Well, let me back up here a minute. Every single one of us have one thing in common this morning. You know what it is, brother? Every one of us. We all have sin. And do you know what the cost of sin is? It's death. You know what every single one of us have in common this morning? Whether you're the richest person in the world or you're the poorest person in the world. Whether you're from Africa or Ghana or anywhere, Germany, it doesn't matter. Anywhere in the world, we've all got one thing in common. And we're all going to die. Every single one of us are going to die. And you know something else that really this morning, listen, when you think about it this way, and I don't mean to be morbid, and I wouldn't scare you in a carnal sense for nothing, but I want to be real with you. They make caskets in every size, every single size. They do. There's a lot of people today that are terrified about dying. But I want you to know that that's Jesus Christ came. He knew the curse. He knew what the curse was. He knew. Listen, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, and then cometh judgment. It's appointed unto man to die once, and then cometh judgment. So I want you to know this morning that every single one of us are going to die. Every one of us. But I want you to understand what Jesus Christ has done. You remember earlier I was telling you about a man named Lazarus, and Lazarus was resurrected when Jesus told him to come forth. You know what Lazarus had to suffer again? Lazarus had to die again. He died again. Every one of them that Jesus resurrected, do you know what happened? They died again. But do you know what Jesus Christ is doing right now? He's living and making intercession for us. He's alive. How do I know that He's alive? Because of His Spirit. I know that He's real. My friend, I wouldn't trust in nothing this morning that I couldn't feel, that I didn't know was real. And I'm thankful this morning that I can feel His presence. I can feel His Spirit. Would you have anything this morning that you couldn't feel? Boy, I couldn't trust in something that I couldn't feel. But I'm thankful this morning that I can feel the presence of God. Now, I told you I was going to try to get to the first fruits. Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15th chapter. Let's start in 12th verse. Now, if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. But if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and our faith is also vain. Yea, we are found false witness of God, because He hath testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then not Christ raised. But if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at His coming. And then cometh the end, when He shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when He shall have put down rule and all authority and power, for He must reign till He hath put all enemies under His feet. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. But for He hath put all things under His feet, but when He saith all things are put under Him, it is manifest that He is accepted, which did put all things under Him. And I want to stop there for just a moment, and I love this chapter, this verse of Scripture, but He declared here that He is the first fruits. And so when you go back in that 23rd chapter of Leviticus and you read about the feast, and my friend, I told you about the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and when you read about the Feast of the First Fruits, that was to happen on the day after the Sabbath. The Bible says on the morrow after the Sabbath. And what they was to do was in the springtime, before they would go in and they would have their harvest, they was to take a sheaf. And that sheaf was more than likely, the way I understand it, of barley. But they was to pick the best that they had, the very best, and they was to bring it before the priest, and they was to offer it to the Lord. And my friend, when that priest picked it up, he was to wave it in the air, and he was to lift it up and wave it to the Lord. Here it is. Here's the best that I've got. And the people had a thanksgiving upon their heart because the Lord would bless the harvest. And my friend, I want you to know that's what Jesus is. My friend, He's the best that heaven had to offer. And my friend, when they searched for one, if you'll remember John over there in, I believe it's in Revelations. Y'all bear with me. He said over here in Revelation, in the 5th chapter, and He says, I saw in the right hand Him that sat on the throne, a book written within, and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and loose the seals thereof? No man in heaven nor in earth, neither under earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open the book and read the book.
neither look upon their own. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And my friend, this morning, I believe John here, he began to weep as he looked out, and he seen this book, and he said, they found heaven. They searched heaven and earth over looking for one that was worthy to open the book. And he said, weep not, for the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed. He's prevailed today. Listen, we worship a risen Savior. He's prevailed. They searched heaven over for one that was worthy to open the book. And here it is, the Root of David, the offspring, he has prevailed. I know this morning, I don't want to confuse you, but Jesus Christ was that first fruit. Let me ask you something this morning. Have you ever known anybody that's ever been resurrected? I've known a whole lot of people that's died. But I've only ever known one that's been resurrected. One. But I'll tell you what he did do. Paul says, if you don't recognize the resurrection, then you've missed the whole boat. What is a resurrection? Well, Paul goes on to describe it this way. He says, over here in the 32nd verse, he says, that which thou sowest, thou sowest not that the body should be, but bare grain, it may many a chance of wheat or some other grain. But God giveth it the body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All the flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. And there are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, and one star different from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, and it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, and it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, and it is raised in power. And my friend, this morning, I want you to know that I may have made a mess of this morning, but I want you to know that Jesus is that first fruit. He was the best that heaven had to offer. And my friend, he said, no man taketh my life from me. He said, but I have the power to lay it down. And he said, I have the power to take it up again. And my friend, I want you to know that when I think about these cemeteries that we see throughout the country, there's a whole lot of them this morning that's pointing towards the east. There's a whole lot of them that the headstones is pointing towards the east. And I want you to know, just as I think about Brother Steve this morning, my friend, and I love that man, and I appreciated him, and I'm thankful that every one of the people I have known down through the years, my friend, they've been planted in some graveyard somewhere. And my friend, I want you to know this morning, that one day after a while, Jesus Christ is going to come, and he's going to make a shout. And my friend, when that shout comes, they're going to come up out of them graves. Now listen, you ever thought about a seed? You ever thought about a seed very much? I know Brother Mike used to be a row cropper. You go buy a pack of seeds, and you rip a pack of seeds open and you pour them out in your hand, and you look at that seed and you tell me if it has any growth to it. Well, they're just as dry as they can be, ain't they? But what happens when you plant that seed in the ground? What happens when that seed has been watered? What happens when that seed, the sun hits that seed? What happens then? It begins to sprout and it begins to grow. And here that's what Paul is saying. He said, we're planted in some graveyard somewhere. He said, talking about the body. But he said, that's not the end. He said, there's power in the resurrection. He said, it is sown in weakness, but it is raised in power. He said, so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. I want to read this, and I may come back to that. I want to read this, and I'll try to be done. Job, in this 14th chapter, I want you to listen this morning. It says, man that is born of a woman is few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth as a shadow and continueth not. And doest thou open thine eyes upon such a one and bringest me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean thing? No one. Seeing his days are determined and the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Turn from him that he may rest till he shall accomplish as a hireling his day. For there is hope of a tree if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the sin of water it will bud and bring forth bouts like a plant. But a man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost. Where is he? Where's the ghost when he dies? These bodies someday is going to be planted out in a graveyard somewhere. But what happens to the soul? What happens to the soul of man? When he dies, listen, every one of us is going to die. We already know that. But what's going to happen to the soul? My friend, your soul is going to go one or two places. Brother Don said this, and I loved the way he put it. He said, death is just a door. And it is. It's a door to heaven if you've been saved. But if you've never been saved, it's a door to hell. The soul is going to go somewhere. And that's what Job's saying. Where is he? He says it like this. He says, as the waters fall from the sea and the flood decayeth and dried up, so man lieth down and riseth not till the heavens be no more, and they shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Thou wilt thou have a desire to work of thine hands. He said, thou shalt call, and I will answer. My friend, I believe this in all of my heart. There's coming a time, if you'll go on to read that there in Corinthians, there's coming a time that, and I know we live in a day and a time that we've heard it preached for some 2,000 years that the Lord Jesus is coming back. But I want you to know, whether or not you believe me or not, that's what the Bible says. And that's what I believe. And my friend, the only reason that he's not returned yet is because it says that he's long-suffering towards those that none should perish. It's his desire. Now, it goes on to say that that God is slack and concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. But he's not slack. He's just long-suffering that none should perish. He wants everybody to be saved. Everybody. It doesn't matter to him what color you are. It doesn't matter to him how much money you've got. It doesn't matter to him where you live. It doesn't matter about any of that stuff. He just wants you to be saved. That's all that matters. He's not worried about all that. He just wants you to be born again. He paid a price that you could not pay. He took your sin. It's through and by him that we're saved. Now, Job said, he shall call, and I will answer. My friend, I want you to know there's coming a day that he's coming back. He's coming back. And I don't know when that'll be. I don't. I don't even try to speculate. I've heard people say, it won't be long now, and I don't know when it'll be. It could be today. It could be. It could be 100 years from now. But I want you to know he's coming back. He's coming back to get his bride. He's coming back to get his children. And my friend, it's going to be a reunion like we've never seen. It's going to be a reunion like we've never experienced. I can't even begin to fathom it. I used to wonder within myself, and it don't make any difference to me. I used to wonder within myself, will I live long enough till the Lord comes back and I'll get to see those that are buried and get to be changed from here to there in a twinkling of an eye? And I don't know, but really it don't make any difference to me whether I die first and He comes back and I'm resurrected and I'm changed into His likeness, or if I get to experience Him coming in that great cloud of glory. It doesn't make any difference to me, my friend, because I'm thankful this morning that I'm going home one day after a while. It doesn't make any difference to me. But I can tell you this, He's coming back. You know what Paul told Thessalonians over here? He said, I would have you not to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if you believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also sleep in Jesus, God will bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend with heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then which we are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And he says, wherefore comfort ye one another with these words. I want to tell you, my friend, you're going to meet him one day after a while. Whether you meet him on this side or you meet him on the other side, you're going to meet him. My friend, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is God. My friend, I want you to know today that you're going to meet him, whether it's on this side or on the other. But my friend, if you die without God, listen, you'll spend an eternity burning in hell. But he's coming back one day. There's going to be a shout that's like it's never been heard before. And my friend, when he comes, he's going to call, and I'm going to answer. I'm going to answer him. Oh, I'm going to come up out of that grave. Boy, I'm thankful. I'm thankful that that grave's not the end for me. It's not the end. But my friend, it's only the beginning. Listen, this place is just a place of preparation. It's just a place to get ready. And that's what God wants you to do. And my friend, if you don't know him, if you've never met him, he desires that you might know him today. He desires that you might be saved. He made a way for you. He loves you. He loves you more than anybody, more than you could ever imagine. That's how much God loves you. He loves you so much that he gave his lifeblood for you. Can you imagine that kind of love? Boy, I can't. I can't imagine why God would love me. I can't. I think about all the things I've done. I think about how many times I've failed him. I think about how many times I've let him down. And you know what? He still died for me. He gave his life for me. And this morning, Jesus gave his life for you. And he wants you to be saved. Oh, yeah, there's coming a resurrection day. And there's going to be a resurrection of the just and the unjust. And my friend, I want you to know whether you meet him on this side or you meet him on the other side, you're going to meet him. And my friend, I want you to know this, and I'll say this and be done. I don't know what I'll say to him when I see him. Paul talked about fight, living a life of faith. He said, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And not only for him, but all those that love his appearing. And my friend, I don't know if I get a crown or not. But I can tell you this. If he gives me a crown, I'll tell you where they'll wind up at. There'll be a pile of crowns around his feet because it's all about Jesus. It's all about Him giving His life for me and Him giving His life for you, that He loves you and He wants you to be saved. My friend, I pray that you make peace. You ask me where Brother Steve is right now. Well, I believe he's walking a street of gold. I believe he's seeing a sight like he's never seen before. And his old body ain't hurt no more. He's not worried about cancer. He's not worried about that old grave they're going to lay him in. Because, boy, he's free. He's living his best life, as they say, right now. Come and meet the one that can save you. Come meet the one this morning that can give you life and give it to you more abundantly. Are you here and lost today? My friend, are you here and lost? Are you bound for hell right now? If you are, I pray you come make peace. Jesus is alive, and He's there seated at the right hand of God. Won't you come this morning? Won't you meet my friend? Won't you meet the best friend I've ever had? Oh, I don't deserve Him this morning. I don't deserve Him. But I want to tell you what, He's been mighty good to me. Mighty good to me. Won't you come meet Him today? If there's pride standing in your way, push that pride aside. If there's family standing in your way, push that aside today. If you feel Jesus knocking at your heart, that's Him knocking right here. And He's saying, come to me. Oh, I feel that old burden you're packing. I've packed that burden too. I know what it is to have trouble in my heart. I know what it is this morning to be lost. I know what it is this morning to be hellbound. But my friend, this morning Jesus made a way. Come seek Him today while He may be found. Oh, He wants to save you. Come seek the Lord today as we have a song.